Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer, WNYC. Jonathan Safran Foer coming up in just a few minutes. You know him from Everything is Illuminated and some of his other writing. Well, he's written a nonfiction book about the change in his eating habits after he decided to research where meat comes from after he became a daddy. Jonathan Safran Foer in just a few minutes to talk about that. But we learned last week that the U.S. economy officially came out of recession in the summer quarter after the longest official downturn since World War II. And government spending, the stimulus, cash for clunkers, a first-time home buying subsidy, the Fed flooding the economy with easy cash, all these things played a role. So if that's what it took, should Washington consider more government spending in the name of economic growth? We will get two views. Richard Rahn is a senior fellow at the libertarian-leaning Cato Institute. Josh Bivens is an economist with the liberal-leaning Economic Policy Institute. Richard and Josh, thanks for coming on WNYC. Good morning.
Well, good morning.
Pleasure to be here.
And first, would you each give us your take on what role government spending this year played in the official emergence from the recession? Josh Bivens from Economic Policy Institute, what do you think?
I think it played an absolutely crucial role in sort of stemming the decline and getting the economy back towards growth. I mean, if you just look, you mentioned a bunch of things in there, different ways the government spent money, but just look at the stimulus package, the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. It was passed in late February. Serious money started going out the door in April. If you look at the 6 months before that was passed, the economy was contracting at about a 7% annual rate. 6 months since it was passed, we've seen it's been growing at about a 1.4% annual rate. That's still too slow to generate jobs in any serious way, but if you look at payroll employment, you look at GDP growth, you look at a whole measure of things, there's a pretty clear breakpoint between sort of April of this year, and I think that's in large measure because of that recovery package.
But, of course, things that are coincidental or that happen at the same time don't necessarily prove cause and effect. How would you begin to demonstrate that the stimulus actually had something to do with it?
Well, first is a little bit of process of elimination. I mean, there's not many other explanations out there that make a lot of sense for why things turned around so sharply coinciding with the coming online of the stimulus package. I mean, the Federal Reserve has not changed policies starting in February or March of this year. They've been flooding the markets with liquidity for well over a year. And if you look at sort of the private sector, there's not too many things that jump out that make a lot of sense as an explanation. And then you can actually look at the data provided by the recovery.gov website and a couple other official sources and just do the calculation. How much more would people's personal disposable income have fallen if not for the effects of the tax reductions and the increase in government transfers that both happen automatically when you enter a recession, but also importantly that were expanded with the recovery package? And then compare that to how much personal consumer spending has actually fallen in this recession. Consumer spending has fallen by about 1%. Personal incomes generated by the private sector have fallen about 7%. And the only thing that hasn't allowed consumption spending to hold up with that huge fall in private sector generated incomes is the increase of tax reductions and transfer payments from the government. And so I think it's just a very strong case that the recovery package added almost the entirety of the economic growth we saw in the third quarter.
Almost the entirety. So, Richard Rahn, how different are you from him when you look at these numbers?
Well, I'm virtually totally different from him. We always come out of recessions. There's always a natural cycle. The thing is, when you go into a recession, as we saw in this one, we had the housing bubble, you have a collapse in prices. The prices don't continue to fall forever. We had a big bubble upward and then a drop in housing prices. You get to an equilibrium level, and economies naturally recover. Whether the government spends any more money or not. But I think part of the evidence is that the stimulus program did not do what it was supposed to. You look back in January, and Christina Romer, who's chairman of the President's Council of Economic Advisors, at that point, she and her colleagues had forecast that without a stimulus program, we would have a 9% unemployment rate, with a stimulus program, we'd peak at 7.8% this past summer. Instead, we're at 9.8% unemployment, and it's still rising.
Why wouldn't that indicate just further weakness in the private sector? If you believe the Obama administration's numbers that they released the other day, that the stimulus saved or created 650,000 jobs, then why wouldn't whatever further unemployment there is just be extra weakness in the private sector rather than lack of impact of the government spending?
Well, in terms of them creating these jobs, you look at what they said beforehand and what's happened since. And I'm going to quote a very distinguished economist, Alan Meltzer, who is at Carnegie Mellon. And he's not known as one with an ideological axe to grind, but he's a good objective economist. And he said, the administration can make up any number it pleases. The number has no meaning. The Council of Economic Advisors gets a number for jobs, say, using the same model that they used when they forecast the $787 billion stimulus program would keep the worst unemployment rate in this recession at about 8%. But we all know.
Do you have an alternative number to the 650,000 jobs created or saved that they claim?
I say no jobs were created. I look at their own projections of what they said would happen back in January and what happened. We lost 3 million jobs. Now, look, you've got a certain, there's a certain potential GDP at any moment in time. Now, with the stimulus program, they speeded up spending, but it's like taking the money out of one pocket and putting it in another pocket. We've seen a huge drop in private domestic investment. We're stealing from future growth. Now, what we're going to have as a result of these huge deficits is lower growth later on, because these will result in higher interest rates.
Now, we just have two minutes left, and I want to get from each of you what you think, and obviously your perspectives on these numbers are very different, what you think the government should do next. Josh from Economic Policy Institute, do you want to see a second round of stimulus spending?
I do. Basically, because if you look at what the Congressional Budget Office has forecast, even including the stimulus package and their estimates, they're forecasting a 10% unemployment rate through the entirety of, I'm sorry, for the average of 2010, and they're not forecasting a return to the pre-recession level of unemployment until 2014. And so they have in their estimates an incredibly sluggish return to sort of a tight labor market, the kind of tight labor market we need for prosperity. And so I think we need further help. I mean, essentially, the stimulus package was supposed to be a bridge while the private sector repaired itself from the bursting of the housing bubble and people and businesses got comfortable to spend again.
So you want another
quite long enough.
You want another $700 or $800 billion of essentially the same stuff?
Essentially the same stuff, a lot of the same stuff. The absolutely crucial stuff is the safety net spending, unemployment insurance, mm-hmm. food stamps. That's great stimulus. Fiscal relief to states, that's going to be very important. There's still a huge budget hole in the states. I'd also like to see some new things as well. I mean, I think we should think about direct job creation as well as maybe a temporary incentive for employers to create jobs. Yeah. You know, I would love it to be about as large as you just said. There's no hope at all in the political process we'll get that,
right.
But I do think we need some more recovery spending.
Richard Rahn, 45 seconds, same question.
The money does not come from the tooth fairy. Every dollar the government spends now is taken from future investment and future private spending. And you're killing is more jobs in the private sector than you're creating with the government spending. With interest rates will be driven up. You can't avoid that with these kind of deficits. The higher the interest rates go, the less housing, less purchase of consumer durables, and we'll be worse off over the longer run rather than better off. Government should get out of the way.
Richard Rahn, Senior Fellow at the Cato Institute. Josh Bivens, Economist with the Economic Policy Institute. Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer, WNYC. Jonathan Safran Foer, on researching a book about where our meat comes from and how it changed his lifestyle. Stay with us.